Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
It's the top of the hour again here in Nigeria, 7 p.m. Nigeria time. Time for us to go on Doctor's Round with Dr. AG. And I'm sure today promises to be another exciting edition. And I'm sure Dr. AG is ready over there in Ottawa, Canada. And of course, we are ready here in Nigeria. His guest is ready. I can see him. Looks much like me with his gray beard. All right, let's see what that brings to the table today. Maybe we have a few things in comparison. All right, Dr. AG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Oye. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. Good evening, Nigeria. Good day all over the world. This is again Doctor's Round, a program of health education for the public by Spirit of Nigerian Radio and co-sponsored by Turn Nigeria. Very good day to you. This program is going to air for the next hour, and as usual, we're going to have the first hour with our guest speaker. I'm going to introduce him shortly, and the first half of the hour, I'll be asking him a few questions, and thereafter, you have the opportunity to ask questions. And today, we're talking on something very important to all of us all. On today's episode, we'll be talking about depression and anxiety, and our guest speaker is Dr. Oyedeji Anyonride. Dr. Anyonride is an associate professor of psychiatry and psychology at Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. He's also the clinical director of community psychiatry. And there's something to be said about that community psychiatry bit. I'll let him say it himself. He trained at the Premier University, University College of Hospital Ibadan, and worked in Louvre and did his residency training at Yaba. He completed his training and did further training in the United Kingdom, where he practiced as a consultant psychiatrist before he came to the cold north. He was in Bethlehem Royal and the Maudsley Hospitals.
Of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
By pessimism, a sense of failure, and at the more extreme end, suicidal thoughts, which I'll elaborate on shortly. Now, for many people, they may not even know they're clinically depressed, and what they may observe is their attention and concentration isn't as good. So they're reading or trying to study for exams, and they just can't recall things. Memory is not great. And just a trick point, anything that impairs your attention or your concentration can affect your memory.
There you go.
For some, it'll be irritability. And it may be the kids just saying, Dad's so grumpy. You know, Dad's so grumpy nowadays. He never used to be like that. And it's not just a grumpy old dad. It could be a sign of depression, or even in relationships where a spouse says, you know, before he used to be so loving and caring. Now he's just irritable all the time. Mm-hmm. For some people, and this is more amongst older people, agitation. So they could be just pacing, walking up and down the room and quite agitated, not being able to settle. Then we have impaired sleep. And sleep can go two ways with depression. For some people, sleep is reduced radically. They wake up 2-3 hours earlier in the morning and they just can't sleep, or they're in bed and their head's just spinning with worry. And others, sleep becomes excessive. So they're just sleeping and sleeping. You know, why do you get up? Yeah, I'm tired. I need to rest, oh, Jerry. And that could be part of depression. Appetite changes. And appetite, again, can go two ways. For many people with depression, the appetite gets reduced. But a number of us actually comfort eat. And there are people who are depressed, and that's the time to get out the chocolate.
Right.
Have the extra pounded yam and just eat bellyful and just, you know, switch off. So appetite changes. In relationships, for a lot of people who are depressed, there's reduced libido, reduced sexual drive. And this can be quite difficult in an intimate relationship where the person just isn't interested, has lost the drive and the desire. And for some people, isolation. Now, given the sort of barrage of symptoms I've just given you there, of this in family life, with a mom or a dad going through experiences like this, or in an intimate relationship where, you know, he's not the man he used to be. When we got married or were dating, he was all this and that, but somehow he's not the same. Or the other way around, from him to her, you know, she's not the same person. She used to be so full of life and so on. So that's depression as an overview. Now, you did mention anxiety, and anxiety can also present. Now, anxiety has mental sensations. So the thoughts, the worries, the sense of fear or dread. It also has bodily sensations, and we can go from pretty much head to toe. So, you know, the worries, I don't know if it's sleep or what, I go just worry. I want drink. Even when I want drink the water no even go down my throat. My throat just dry. Then my heart, like say my heart won't cut. Isn't just biggie. Like say fear catch me. And no sense even they panic me. Fear just catch me like that. Abdominal symptoms. My belly doesn't make noise. I go sit down there, I just go do bro, 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 bro. Then even before I even chop finish, the same one, okay, I can't say a dirty word. So I'll say SH1T. SH1T, you won't catch me. And so on. Then my body just sweats. I hold spoon, my hand just shake. I just sweat and so on. And these may be symptoms of anxiety. And at a more extreme level, an anxiety disorder, which we can elaborate on. So depression and anxiety are actually bedfellows. Anxiety makes depression worse, and depression makes anxiety worse. So it's a lot I've mentioned, a lot to reflect on, and we'll elaborate.
Thank you very much. That's very comprehensive. We're going to focus more on these disorders. You've differentiated no more negative emotion that may be function like sadness, fear, and all the rest of them. They may be functional, but you're talking about disorder. Let's try to focus on those two disorders. Are there causes? What causes depression? What causes anxiety?
Yeah.
Well, disorders.
Depression and depressive disorders. So I'll use depressive disorders or clinical depression, and in North America referred to as major depressive disorder and so on. Mm-hmm. Multiple causes, and I'll go through a list very carefully. And this is more just help us appreciate that many things in our lives can cause it. About 20% of us, and roughly one in every five of us listening to this broadcast, is clinically depressed. Whether they were or not, they would be. Hopefully this helps. So some of it could be genetic. So you're just born with it. We don't choose our mothers. We don't choose our fathers. Mom and dad or grandparents may have a genetic risk for depression. And we have depression too. And we just say, in fact, the father or mother were normally very sad or very dour people, or some family members committed suicide, another person's been depressed as well. Others may be through life events. And by life events, I'm talking of things like stressors. Loss events are one of the commonest causes. Death of a loved one, or bereavement, loss of many things. It could be loss of eyesight, loss of mobility, loss of finances, and so on. Chronic difficulties. So many times people expect depression to be started by one big blow. But sometimes actually it's the drip, drip, drip effect. So for instance, gender-based violence. A person goes to work, gets home, someone's shouting at them, they're being hit, there's domestic violence, day in, day out, and the moment they finish work, they're just feeling low. Marriage difficulties, unemployment, and chronic health conditions. It's worth stating that anyone with a chronic enduring health condition is at risk of depression. So culturally, we'll think of things like sickle cell disease, the chronic pain. Anyone with sufficient pain long enough can develop a depressive illness. We don't show enough sympathy and understanding to people with sickle cell crises, for instance. But imagine a toothache that didn't go away after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Imagine having a toothache that lasted for 1 month. I dare you say you won't get depressed. You then have sort of neurochemical effects from things like alcohol. People may drink to drown their sorrows, but worth knowing, sorrows can learn to swim. Alcohol is actually a depressant of mood. Others may use other psychoactive substances like cocaine. Coke lifts your mood, but my oh my, afterwards, it crashes the mood. For our people at home who may be seeing their local traditional healer and herbalist, there are some plants also. So things like Asofoeja, Rauwolfia serpentina, which is a plant. Asofoeja can actually dip a person's mood. We've got hormonal effects that may also contribute to depression. There's sort of brief episodes, for instance, the time of the month, or with the menopause, a number of people can experience depression. I must emphasize for all the points I've made so far, for it to be a depressive disorder, these symptoms need to be present for 2 weeks or more. So it's not just 1 day or 2 days, but 2 weeks or more. Some quick other examples would be physical health conditions. Thyroid disease, low thyroid hormone can lead to depression. So it's like thyroid hormone, it's like a car's revving. And if the revs are too low, we can feel depressed. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, in beautiful winter, there's also something known as a seasonal affective disorder, and just not being exposed to natural daylight week on, week out can lead to depression. COVID, viruses can cause depression as well. And there are lots of people with sort of post-COVID depression and other viruses like HIV, et cetera. And another on the list will be things like autoimmune diseases, multiple sclerosis, systemic lupus erythematosus. That's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah. So
it's a whole range of things. So anyone can be depressed at a stage of their life. It could be a physical health condition. It could be a diagnosis of cancer. It could be life events. It could be genetic. And we shouldn't forget a proportion of people who are depressed may have gone through quite adverse childhood experiences. Sexual.
I like this. I think we use it as tagline. Sorrows can learn to swim.
Oh, yes, they can.
Drink. When you drink or you try to drown the sorrow, you're probably going to get yourself depressed some more. What about anxiety? Are there causes to anxiety disorders? Yes.
Same thing like with depression, it could be genetic. So he's just like his mother or like his father, or she's just like the parent. And he was always a worrier. Anything small, they say, they don't go express road, they're on the way to Ibadan, ringing every minute. Are you there yet? Are you okay? And so some people could have a genetic risk. some people are very vulnerable also through their personality and their coping style. And some people just real world threat or trauma can also trigger anxiety. So it's a whole range of things. And of course, there are physical health issues as well. I don't want to repeat the list for depression, but they overlap quite considerably. Anxiety, pretty much anything that can considerably increase adrenaline can also contribute to anxiety symptoms, and if it persists, anxiety disorder.
This is still Doctor's Round on SNR. We're talking about depression and anxiety today. Dr. Ayonrede, are there different types, just briefly before we take a longer break, are there different types of depressive disorder? You mentioned that briefly.
Yes, there are. And I'll try and keep these brief. So some types of depression are reactive to an event. So something significant has happened in life and it triggers the depression. Some depression's recurrent. So it comes and then it goes, it comes and goes. Some depression is mixed with anxiety. And some depression is biological, whereby it's just our own body's chemistry. Nothing has happened, but we just feel depressed. And that sometimes can be quite confusing to people. You know, everything in life was going well. Why is the person depressed? Depression can also be a feature of bipolar disorder. We won't go into bipolar now, but it could be part of a mood disorder where one phase is low, depressed, reduced energy, feeling suicidal in some cases, while the other phase, the manic phase, has the mood going up. So there are a whole range of different types of depression. And maybe time permitting or after the break, we'll talk about types of anxiety disorder too.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're still listening to Dr. Round on SNR. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. And when we get back, we'll talk about types of anxiety disorder. And at that time, you have the opportunity to call in your questions. The number to call is +234 705 320 1010. That's 234 705 320 1010. Thank you. How are you doing?
Started in the early 60s. Now Kwame Nkrumah make Africans unite. Make the people be one. African unity will make the continent strong. Over 30 years, Africans not get direction. Now for our very high, Oyinbo man unite. The matter now, go make you start to think. Go they make you.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and Dr. AG is there with Dr. Ayoride on Doctor's Round and SNR. And they're talking about anxiety and depression. All right, the number to call in case you just want to be a part of this program is +234 705 320 1010. All right, take it away, Dr. AG.
Thank you very much, Choi. That was a nice music there. Before we went on the musical interlude, we were talking about different types of depression. Now we're going to focus briefly on the different types of anxiety disorders. Are all anxiety the same or are they different? Dr. Ayoride?
No, anxiety disorders are not all the same. And you mentioned the word anxiety, and I wish I'd checked the football scores for Arsenal, but perhaps the...
We just lost 1-0.
Okay, there you go.
Back to business. Thank you. Right, so there are different
types...
That's a bit of distraction. There are different types of anxiety disorder. So the commoner ones would be the generalized anxiety disorder, and by generalized, it's there all the time. Is someone who's just worrying, anxious all the time. What if? And so that's generalized anxiety disorder. There's then panic disorder. And this so if you think of generalized as just one continuous flat line of anxiety, panic disorder has the occasional spike. So I was fine, or I did office or anything, then fear just catch me. Hey, my heart just... I couldn't even explain myself, and then the thing calms down. So that'll be a panic disorder. When a person goes through a panic disorder, they feel as if they may die. It's scary. I mean, a lot of people with panic disorders actually see cardiologists because it's so overwhelming and scary for them. And the brain has learned to code that sort of bodily sensation with a sense of doom. So we've got panic disorders. People also have phobias. And a phobia is a sort of a fear that's out of keeping with the risk situation, sometimes described as an irrational fear. So people may have a phobia for instance, chicken. They see a chicken and then they run. Oh, no, I can't move near chickens. But you would not have a phobia of lions or tigers. So for a phobia, so people may have a fear of heights, and that's a type of anxiety disorder as well. Beyond the scope of today, but it's certainly important to mention, will be post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And this is a type of anxiety stress disorder where there's been a major stressful event. So someone could have been sexually abused in a car crash. They're reliving the event. They feel really hypervigilant and jumpy, and it's affecting their sleep, their day-to-day activities. And something beyond today, but certainly worth a whole program of its own because it's more common than people think. And then we've got things like obsessive compulsive disorder. Quick one before I forget, so that I don't forget my Yoruba. Sometimes people say, we don't have depression in Yoruba or Nigerian cultures. Depression, no day Igbo, no day Hausa, and so on. We're wrong.
Don't get time to be depressed.
Now, so in Yoruba, actually, clinical depression is irewesi okan, which is tiredness and fatigue of the heart. And actually, if you think of irewesi okan, the list of depressive symptoms I mentioned earlier, they're there. The ones in the head, the ones in the body. So our cultures are actually way more medically literate than we think. Just that we aren't educated in it. So we're the ones not literate in the culture.
Thank you very much. How do you then diagnose? What is the blood test for these disorders? Do you do scan? How do you diagnose all these disorders?
Well, I went through a whole list, but on the whole, there's no blood test for depression. It's not, doctor, if I do blood tests, can I know if I'm depressed or not? Yes, you might pick something. So a person may be depressed because they're also partly anemic. They may be depressed because they've got low vitamin D levels. They may be depressed because they've got a hormone imbalance and so on. But these would not be, or thyroid disease, but these would not be standard tests for depression. Same thing with anxiety. A person may, through blood tests, we may pick up some things. Thyroid hormone may be very high and so on. But there's no standard blood test or brain scan, CT, MRI for depression or anxiety. A lot of it is based on the clinical history and an assessment by a skilled, trained, competent professional, depending on what the culture is.
Thank you. So now you've made a diagnosis of depression. Are they treatable? Anxiety disorder, are they treatable? Can you just run us through the treatment for depression and anxiety? And if you want to touch on the prognosis, I mean, the outcome is also important. Callers can call in with their question at this stage.
Okay, so I'll try and make this quick. In Western society, people are very quick to prescribe antidepressant medication. But antidepressant medication does not treat everything that comes with depression. So I'll break it down treatments. One of the treatments and interventions for depression that we may not think of is social. If someone's isolated, feeling lonely, just say hello, check in on them. How are you? How are you feeling? Sounds bereaved, being there with them. So they're not just isolated and lonely. Supporting the family. And that's one of the areas where our faith groups can actually be very, very helpful, or other groups. It could be all students of a school and so on. So social support could be very, very helpful. In some situations, and this is all before medication, some situations it could be what we refer to as environmental manipulation. If a spouse is beating up the other day in, day out, breaking their teeth, breaking their nose, take a break. Get out of that environment that's causing the distress. And that may alleviate some of the distress or the depression. Exercise, and it's one thing we don't think of that much, but for people who have mild or moderate depression, exercise can actually go a long way. Walking, climbing the stairs, and other vigorous activity. This is an adult program, I'll edit, but then exercise goes a long way also in helping with depression. It helps the body balance some of its neurochemicals. Then we have psychological therapies. And one of the commoner ones, which has a lot of evidence, is what's referred to as cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. Now, this is a form of talk therapy. And what happens in CBT is when we're depressed, the brain and the mind by default just goes to the negative. It just goes to the negative. So here you are in a domestic situation, the husband is depressed and the wife says, you know, my dear, I really think you need more help. Now, if he wasn't depressed, it's, darling, you're just so loving and caring. Thanks for being aware that it's tough. But if the person was depressed, I need more help. After all the money I get, you know, aren't I good enough? And the person may take it as a criticism. So when we're depressed, we see comments in a more negative light and take things more as a criticism. What cognitive behavior therapy does is help us actually challenge, hold on, could it be she was trying to help you? Why do you think she's just trying to undermine you and so on? I won't go into full details about CBT, but it's an evidence-based intervention. For some people, it's problem-focused therapies, and they may have just so many big problems they're facing. You're cracking them one by one in therapy. But these therapies don't work for everyone, because if a person was terminally ill with depression, you can't just say, it could get better, or it is well. The person's dying, they're sad they're dying. And a pill isn't going to sort that out. So there are different therapies whereby they're being encouraged to make the best of what's in life and what their goals and objectives may be. Then we're getting to the realms of pharmacological therapies, antidepressant medication. These are a whole range of medications, and they work on neurochemicals in the brain. mainly serotonin, a neurochemical in the brain. For some of them, they may work on adrenaline, and they have different mechanisms. I could bore you with talking about them, but I'd say with antidepressant medication, they use for up to 6 months in some individuals, a year. And if it's a person with a long-standing, enduring biological depression, it could be used for the rest of a lifetime. They do have side effects. Some men avoid them because they think it gives them, for some people, erectile dysfunction. But if you discuss with your doctor very carefully, a medication may be chosen that doesn't give you undesirable side effects. So those are some interventions.
Do this medication work? Do they work really?
They do. However, again, we're looking again the right dose of medication used regularly with the individual, excluding some of the other causes, but part of a bigger package. If I had a neighbor who was kicking my door every day with racist abuse and I was depressed, I can use a bucket of Prozac. I'll still be depressed. So yeah. There are other variables, and nothing can replace just loving, caring relationships, friendships, human support. And that on its own is a pill. Everyone out there, have you said a nice word to someone today? Have you smiled at someone today? Have you told someone you care about them? That may go a long way, and we shouldn't just underestimate the power of kindness and compassion.
I think I remember when we were in training back home, it used to be that the collective nature of our society, the fact that we're collectivistic, the fact that we believe in each other and we support one another actually lifted depression. But now I wonder with the Nigerian situation where we're so individualistic, self-centered, and everybody pursue their dreams without caring, I wonder if we're losing that. Do you have any comment to say about culture?
Yeah. Well, you could get me going, but we do come from a social-centered culture, and it's embedded in our sense of self. So in our traditional cultures, you think of yourself as part of a greater community. So me and my people. And it happens, it's observed when people pass away abroad, they're going home, you know, the parties and so on. And also in our proverbs. So the Yoruba speakers, apologies, I'm not competent in other Nigerian languages. Agbajowo laughing soya. So to thump your chest in pride, every single finger plays a role. You can't thump your chest with one finger. You can point with one finger, but when you need strength to make a fist, every single finger counts. And it's one of the values we lose. And we observe it in diaspora. People are lonely, 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 and isolated. And depression in those sort of contexts. Let's reach out and be connected.
Are you touching on something very important there to most of us in the diaspora? This idea of loneliness and lack of collectivity. What will you advise? What would be your advice be when there's some of the signs that you've picked up? And in fact, the negativism by either the spouses keep manifesting. What would be your advice? I'm living in Nunavut, or I'm somewhere in Saskatchewan, or somewhere northeast of Italy, and I ain't got nobody to talk to.
Well,
what would be your advice?
We're in a great period of digital transmission. We are using technology now. FaceTime, Skype, Zoom, stay connected. I mean, this radio station is a pill. I listen to it. I enjoy some of the music. I enjoy it. And occasionally, one, goodness, where am I? And it does help with the connectedness. For those of us embedded in even cultural things, if you haven't had access to a bowl of Gari in a long time, you'll value what Gari is. the things that make us who we are with our identity, and it's tough. We can be remote from others, but we can also stay connected and make the best of technology.
You're still listening to Doctor's Round on SNR. Your questions are welcome. Plus 234 705 320-1010. That's where you call with your questions.
All right, I have one. Yeah, I have one on
you
Twitter.
Have a question?
Yeah, I said on WhatsApp message, which says that how can we help the Nigerian government help individuals with institutional support for anxiety and depression, given the general state of our medical care system in the countries?
Thanks. That's a great question.
Okay, and, just hold on. There's another one coming. That was sent by text, but this one is coming right now. There's one coming up now. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, good evening.
This is Mrs. Obo from Benin City.
Mrs. Obo from Benin City.
Question for Dr. Deji Ayoride.
Okay, question for Dr. Deji Ayoride. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, how do you handle menopause-associated depression? Depression associated with menopause.
Okay.
And aging.
Okay, menopause-associated depression. She wants to know, how do you handle that? Menopause-associated depression. Thank you very much, Ms. Obo from Benin. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Obo. I'll keep my response brief because of time. But during the menopause, there are significant hormone changes. I'm stating the obvious, and some people, they'll be wondering, duh, silly man. Of course we know that. But a lot of things happen at that stage of life. Estrogen, which is a female sex hormone, begins to reduce. And testosterone, which is the more male hormone, becomes more prominent in ratios than it normally is. But that period of the menopause around late 40s, early 50s, is also a period where there's a confluence of many other events going on in life. Around the late 40s, 50s is also when children may be leaving the nest. So you begin to have a bit of an empty nest experience.
Mm.
Around that period, the relationship with the spouse may be tested. And we'll keep it real. Spouses may be having affairs and other relationships. The person may feel, now that I'm menopausal, I'm not as valued and so on in the relationship. There are a range of interventions, and I'll keep within my specialty. So while the core interventions for depression, including antidepressant medication, may have a role in some individuals, some people may benefit from hormone therapies. These have their own benefits and their risks. And I'll suggest if you were to go on a hormone therapy, discuss with your obstetrician and gynecologist or your GP, but they may have a role as well. There are a number of other treatments being considered. I'm in Canada here, and we can't be in Canada without talking about the range of cannabinoids. I won't go into that in detail here, but there is some promise in some cannabis products, more towards the CBD range, in the menopause. So it's a broad issue with a confluence of multiple factors, and probably worth a whole show of its own. We must respect our women.
Well, you saying this, you're not advising that the menopausal or premenopausal women should start smoking cannabis, right? We better lay that emphasis.
No.
Please don't start smoking cannabis.
People, I don't say anyone smoke it, boo. I did not.
There are components of cannabis, the CBD. Yeah.
Yeah, no, what I gave that comment was because I gave a talk in the North American Menopause Society Conference with about 5,000 delegates. And that was the theme of what I was asked to talk about. So it's just keeping it,
yeah.
No smoky boo. I didn't say anyone should smoke. Let's leave it there. Maybe we'll have a show talking cannabis someday.
I think we'll talk about
all right. Okay, we have another caller. This one, I guess, is from London or Dublin or somewhere. All right. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, good day. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Yes, I've been following the program.
All right, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Okay, my name is Dr. Samuel Yaide, and I'm calling from the United Kingdom.
Okay, Dr. Samuel Yaide from United Kingdom.
Yes. I'm a retired psychiatrist.
Okay, a retired psychiatrist, okay?
Yes. I'll be interested in comments, particularly in a different setting, when it comes to issue of mental illness generally, including the anxiety, which is the focus today, particularly when you highlight the treatment in terms of the social, physical, psychological, and pharmacological. Is there any common particular issues? Our people are very, very religious, and they tend to attribute long-term disorder to spiritual causes like demons, and they talk of treatment like deliverance. Is there any comment that can help our people generally with respect to that?
All right, thank you very much. I think he was talking about the spirituality, that a lot is associated with demons, juju, and all of that. You know, how do you relate that to depression? Coming from Nigeria, coming from Africa, what's the correlation between both?
Excellent. How on earth could we have left that out? We must not minimize the role or the cognitive, as in the mental effect of worries about curses, witchcraft, juju, voodoo, and so on. It's at the core of some of our cultures. In a previous life, I ran a Yoruba clinic in London, England, and my colleagues couldn't make a diagnosis on these people. And you speak with them in Pidgin English, Doctor, and these things that cause worry or fear, and also recognize that with our different faith practices also, there are aspects that are related to consequence that may happen in our lives or what we may have done wrong and so on. So we can't ignore it. And I think an awareness, in fact, as I say to colleagues, you cannot do West African psychiatry without talking God, no matter what is taught. God is part of our culture. If I'm going to quickly segue from that comment as well, some of our culture also puts incredible stress on young people. The concept of Najano de last is pressure. You know, and we see lots of young people and students who are under immense pressure. What did you get? 80%. Olodo, you couldn't get 90 or 100%. What did you get? Second class upper. You couldn't get first class. Which university are you? You can get into Harvard or Oxford or Cambridge. So just that the pressure to succeed under all conditions can cause a lot of stress and anxiety also to our younger ones, sometimes way beyond their capacity and capability. So Najano de last, I mean, hey, we're proud of that, but sometimes it comes at incredible cost.
It has the other side, right? And that is...
Okay, quick response. That's meant to be a guilt trip question. So a question is, encoded in that question is the fact that many Nigerian physicians in their thousands are all over the world in diaspora. So there's a depleted workforce. Guilt, guilt, guilt. However, can we support services in Nigeria? Well, it's incumbent on us. Every single physician of Nigerian heritage should try and give back. Give back to your alma mater, give back to your institution, support family. Some people are doing amazing work through charities, whether it's breast cancer or mental health causes and so on. So we must give back. We can also support training of the workforce. So yes, it's difficult. I mean, we're talking, Yaba is my alma mater, Yaba left. And it's true. Akpawasi, but there is a shortage of resource. They're doing a great job with the resources available. So for those of us outside, Ilelabo Simioko, will need to give back. And it may not happen overnight, but there's a lot we can do. So we owe it to use funds and resources. We owe it to using training we can to support our colleagues and others there. we can support through the NGOs or charitable sector. And really, every time you go home, apart from taking dollars or pounds, take knowledge, take books, take resources. I know this is all talk, because if someone is severely anxious or depressed and suicidal in Lagos now, then all I'm talking is hot air. What can we do now? And I'll suggest see a physician, either go to your local hospital, your local private clinic or other hospital, go to the GHs, general hospitals. There are some very good specialist centers all over the country with specialists. There may be a bit of COVID delay. That's the same everywhere. We get tested for COVID every week. My nose don't get whole. So it's complex, but lots to do. And yes, we plead guilty for not being that close to home every day. Sorry.
I think one of the goals of this program is to bring you back home, to share your knowledge, and to ensure that people know what to ask for, to recognize themselves, because an educated public is a healthy public. This is part of this. So invite people to listen to Dr. Zran, because you have specialists of Nigerian heritage discussing with you very important health matter. It is imperative that you have the knowledge so that you can take your health in your own hands. Unfortunately, our time is up on Doctor's Round. The issue of anxiety and depression is certainly something that we would need to bring back. And on your behalf, I would like to thank Dr. Anyonride for sharing his expertise on this subject. And he started talking about something very important just a few seconds ago about students' health, students' mental health, and the pressure that we place on them. And we will be having a session on this very important matter, because we as parents need to start asking ourselves questions. As a society, what kind of pressure do we put on our kids, and how does that affect their mental health? I would like to say a big thank you to you, Dr. Anyonride, and I will be hosting you again on Doctor's Round. I'd like to thank Toye Arulogun for putting together the program and our technical crew. We apologize for the technical glitch at the beginning of this program, but never mind, we're coming back, we're getting better. We'll be back next Sunday at the same time, Sunday, 7 p.m. Nigerian time and 1 p.m. here in Ottawa. My name is A.G. Ahmed, and I will see you soon.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Spora up to speed. Spora up to speed. Spora up to speed. Spora up to speed.